This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Entertain Art. Get official, licensed, ready-to-hang wall art from Star Wars, Disney, Marvel, and so many more studios. Head to StarWarsReport.com/art and use discount code SWR20, 20% off. Again, that's StarWarsReport.com/art. Also, Caseable. They're giving you handcrafted, beautiful cases for all mobile devices. Check them out, StarWarsReport.com/Caseable, StarWarsReport.com/Caseable, and use discount code SWR10 when you check out there as well. Let's get on with the show. On this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, I'm joined by some old friends as we talk a new Lando. What have we here? And a bunch of other stuff. Let's do it right now. I knew it.
What happened?
Here's the true behind the scenes, and I'm leaving all of this in the podcast. I have this awesome, perfectly timed intro, but as I showed to the people watching live, my phone screen rotation was not turned off. So when I rotate the screen, the audio cuts off. All right. Let's pretend it never happened. We're all fine. On this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, well, what have we here? It's a new Lando. And a bunch of other stuff, but that's really all we care about. Let's talk about it. Being very careful not to tilt his phone too much and accidentally cut off the audio. It's Riley Blanton. Hey, guys. It's good to talk to you. Welcome to the Star Wars Report, episode 245. I'm so glad to have you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. Man, do we have a great show for you lined up this evening. And I couldn't be more excited. We're coming at you live from the brand new, hot off the presses, redesigned Star Wars Report studio, where we are actually broadcasting live via Twitch, which is fantastic. So welcome everyone who's tuned in live. Welcome, and also welcome to all the folks listening to the podcast, and most importantly, welcome to my two co-hosts for this evening. Let's start with him. You know him, you love him. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. How's it going, Mark?
Greetings, everyone. How's it going? Gals, ghouls, boffins, and everyone in between.
Dude, I'm so excited to be... It's just the fact that it seems to be working. Like, if I don't touch anything right now, the video broadcast will keep going, the audio recording will keep going, and we'll just we'll talk Star Wars. Sound like a plan?
Sounds awesome.
But we need one more person.
Get him in here.
I know. Let's get him in. Let's bring him in. It's the producer of this fine program. It's Mr. Bruce Thaddeus Gibson. Did I guess it? This is my thing.
Tiberius.
Tiberius. I feel like we did this before once, and I'm forgetting that. I feel like no, this
Bruce is actually my middle name.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I feel like we've had this exact conversation and I've totally forgotten it. Like literally everything.
Never on air. I think we talked about it once before.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Gotcha.
But we'll keep it a secret.
My name is Steven, clearly.
Exactly. Well, I'm so glad to have both of you gentlemen on today. We've got so much to talk about. So much to talk about. And we have new stuff from episode 8 and all kinds of stuff. So, without further ado, let's get straight directly into the news.
We have something to report.
Santosa, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
I was scrolling through my Twitter feed, as I want to do some afternoons, and a familiar face came across. It was a Photoshopped image of Donald Glover over Lando Calrissian's... Freudian slip over Billy Dee Williams, famous promo, and I'll do this for the folks watching live. Famous like promo shot where he's got his blaster raised up and he's tilting his head to the camera slightly, and I was like, oh, that the rumor must be going around again. And then I would discover something, gentlemen.
There was a seed of truth.
Not just a seed of truth, actual truth. Donald, we have confirmed not the Star Wars movie coming out this December, Not the Star Wars movie coming out next December. Now, the Star Wars movie coming out after that. That's what we're getting. That's what we're getting news on. Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian. In fact, this is such an interesting casting choice for several reasons. There's particularly, guys, I had some mixed emotions about this. In fact, like we have this awesome group chat with some Dragon Con folks. And I feel like it's kind of like Fight Club, though. I can't talk that much about it other than to say that there were some interesting points that were made about Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. Because when it comes to a young Han Solo movie, if you're trying to recast an actor as iconic as Harrison Ford, there's a certain amount of expectation that comes along with it. There's a certain level of what the actor is supposed to fit into. But Harrison Ford is, as Han Solo, is iconic, but there's no shtick to him. And there's kind of a shtick to Lando now. In fact, like, Lando has transcended his role, and now he's real. Like, the Freudian slip is Lando Calrissian is kind of Billy Dee Williams in popular culture today. In fact, I think there's some interesting points to be made as far as, like, the fact that Donald Glover being cast because he's a comedian? Is he being cast because he's a talented actor? Is he being cast because of his sick rhymes that he has known to drop? Well, I think we have the answer. In fact, I think Bruce Gibson has the answer. And he's going to tell us all about it right after we tell you about our first sponsor. And that's Entertain Art. This week's podcast is brought to you by the fine folks over at Entertain Art, where you can get officially licensed, ready to hang wall art from Disney and Marvel and DC and all kinds of studios. It's a passionate team of folks, and they are awesome. We've been working with them. This is our first week starting, but we've been in conversations with them for a while, and I'm very excited to have them because they have really high-quality prints. High-quality canvas printing on regular and metallic canvas that they have. They also do embellished products with more than 1,000 designs on their website. Check them out. It's StarWarsReport.com/art. You can, of course, go to entertainart.com. That's the easy one to remember, but go through the link, StarWarsReport.com/art. That lets them know that the folks who are listening to the Star Wars Report are also interested in them and keeps them sponsoring us and keeps this show happening in the way that it is. So make sure that you check them out. It's Entertain Art. They'll also be at Kamikaze LA October 28th. That's this coming weekend, folks, as you're listening to this. So make sure you check them out there October 28th through 30th. When you head to the checkout, we put up a post actually on our blog for the sponsorship once it started on some of their Rogue One pieces. Really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. So I can't wait to show you guys, and you can check it all out again at StarWarsReport.com/art. StarWarsReport.com/art. That's what you want to go to. But most importantly, use discount code SWR20 when you check out. They're giving you 20% off. So we thank Entertain Art for sponsoring this week's podcast. All right, let's talk Donald Glover. Bruce, you look like you have a thought.
I have a thought in the fact that I do not think that he is going to portray this character in a comedic way. I mean, there might be funny lines, but you got to remember there's a director involved in this. They're going to make sure that he's going to be as authentic as he can. And I mean, I think he's hired because he is a good actor, and he's going to bring his own way of how he wants to portray Lando Calrissian, while borrowing a few elements that Billy Dee did, but also making his own. And also, you know, this isn't the first Donald I've heard in the news lately. So it's actually, this is the Donald I'm relieved to hear about this week.
Touche, sir. Touche.
Oh, no, I agree with Bruce. I think Donald Glover is a great choice because he is going to want to do the role justice. You know, he's going to do the research for the character as well. I think that the cool thing here is that, unlike with Harrison Ford, Donald really looks a lot like Billy Dee Williams. I mean, he looks more Lando than
I was watching you, Mark. I was watching you walk into that trap of slowly having to pronounce the name of Alden Ehrenreich. Alden Ehrenreich.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think Glover's got a more standard look. You know, he looks more like what I think of. You know, it's not like one of those where I open up the comic and I'm like, who the hell is that? That ain't Leia.
Yeah, no, he, yeah, I'm excited. I think so. There are two roles that I think we can point to get an idea for the Lando Calrissian. That not only do I think they're not going to go for a comedic Lando, because Lando, he's funny at times, like his punchlines are, but like that's almost all from sort of the outgrowth of popular culture, right? It's almost all entirely. What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it's really just a little overblown, which is okay because it's perfectly fun now that we can watch Robot Chicken and see him, you know, betray them, and it's hilarious. But now, there are two roles. One, you have to look at The Martian. He was absolutely incredible playing a role that had absolutely no comedy to it, but he was playing a sort of brilliant scientist type, which he did a great job. And then number two, I've only seen the first episode, but his... I think directed, written, and produced by himself, his series Atlanta is amazing. And as a guy who works, lives just outside of, and goes to school in Atlanta, like, he captured the essence of the city in a way that is really, really, really remarkably well done. And while that is kind of totally unrelated to Star Wars in terms of like storytelling, it's not like a sci-fi series, it shows a capability of an actor who is also a talented writer, singer, comedian. He's a very diversely talented fellow. So I'm anxious
like yourself.
I'm anxious to see I'm anxious to see how he's used beyond perhaps just the actor. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the angle that really gets me intrigued. I mean, they're talking that we could watch the Falcon get lost from Lando to Han. On one hand, I'm like, you know, I kind of want to see that. But there's another part of me that's kind of like, you know, I almost want it to be like right after that happened to have some animosity built up, maybe. I don't know.
That would be fascinating. Yeah.
I haven't been. I'm just want to say I haven't really been that excited about this movie. Out of all the Star Wars movies we know that are coming, this one I just haven't been excited about because I was just like, I don't know how I feel about recasting a Han Solo. And now we've got recasting of a Lando. But for some reason, this announcement has made me excited about the movie. Just the fact that we're going to see Han and Lando and Chewie together again and the Falcon, and then started to really hit me and really get excited. And I think about like the Star Trek movies and how they recast those iconic characters, and people love the cast. And I'm really hoping the same thing happens with this.
Me too. I think that, yeah, the reaction has been largely positive that I've seen online. In fact, I want to paraphrase. I saw Brian from Tashi Station tweet out, sometimes the obvious choice is the right choice. And there were early rumors that he'd be the guy, right? But, you know, that's it's getting real now. It is. It's getting real again. Like, you're getting casting announcements for a film that comes out after the Star Wars film that comes out after the Star Wars film that we're looking forward to next. And it's still that reality of this many Star Wars movies is still sinking in. Like, literally, guys, I just watched the Logan trailer and the Guardians Volume 2 trailer both just drop this week. And like, there's just so much. It's so much awesome stuff. So much awesome stuff.
One is what reminds me of what we're getting right now, though, with these type of announcements, because it's like you kind of have an idea where they're going with the story, but it's a new universe, so like they could go in any direction. You're like, well, that's kind of how Old Man Logan was, but not quite. This will be interesting. And that's, I think, the thing about the going back to tell Han stuff where I'm kind of trepidatious, because on one part I liked Han's old backstory of being an Imperial pilot and his leaving the Empire to help Chewie. I mean, I kind of almost wish they went back to something like that where we see more of Han and Chewie hooking up than it being more about Han getting the Falcon. Like, I hope Han getting the Falcon's like a side note, or maybe even after the credits kind of thing. Although I know they're not going to do that in Star Wars, but I can pray.
Oh, are they? Are they? I bet they are.
You hope they are? I hope they are.
Dude, like,
One would be the perfect one to launch it. Do it on the standalones. You know,
I'm still kind of
do it on the soft. Say don't do that.
They explicitly said no, but it seems like almost too good of an opportunity. I know the timeline doesn't quite work out, but man, it would have been a great opportunity to tie in the two standalone films to have like a post credits shot of Alden Ehrenreich in the vest, right? That'd be amazing.
Yes,
but then it gets back to sort of the marketing confusion where you'd like they're promoting the film that comes out after the film that comes out next. It's interesting. I need to go through actual like Marvel movies and see like how are they promoting Infinity War right now, even though they have like three movies coming out before Infinity War. But we all know Infinity War is like the big one that we're all waiting for.
They're kind of changing up. They're pulling a Ghostbusters, you know. When it's in the theater, it's Ghostbusters, but now it's out, it's Ghostbusters, Answer the Call. Wait, what? That was it? Oh, I guess it was.
Yeah. And T. Stidman in the chat was saying at this point, he doesn't think we'll ever see a post-credit scene in a Star Wars movie. That's probably the realistic answer. That's a wishful thinking on my part. If I could see it would be so cool. But it might be a little too cliche at this point. I don't know. Maybe. All right, we've got a new excerpt on Catalyst. Catalyst, of course, as I've talked about on this week's episode, one of this week's episode of Star Wars Tonight, which we'll talk more about a little bit later, but that's kicking in gear. You may just want to get that on your podcatcher, but we're not talking Star Wars Tonight right now. From USA Today, we have an excerpt from Catalyst. In fact, this is from Catalyst Chapter 5, authored by one of my favorites, Jim Lucino, author of Labyrinth of Evil and so many other amazing Star Wars books. But Bruce, tell me all about this. What are we learning from Catalyst?
Well, in this Chapter 5 excerpt, we have a scene where we have a baby Jyn, and Krennic meets baby Jyn for the first time. And we see Galen there, and I guess it's his wife or girlfriend or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to give too much away, but you can read this on USA Today. They have the this excerpt from Catalyst Chapter 5 where you can read this scene. But we also have had Pablo Hidalgo talk some extensive things about Rogue One in this USA Today article.
Interesting. And it's interesting that it's Pablo that they went to for the article. Like, what did we learn anything? Did we learn anything new about Rogue One?
I'm going to give you a quote.
Okay.
Something he said.
All right.
He said, and I don't imitate Pablo, so I'm not even going to pretend. Okay. This is Pablo channeling himself through me. He says, everyone knows about the Death Star as this way larger than life concept. It's hard to wrap your head around this weapon that's so powerful, but this is the idea of understanding who were some of the architects and what were they thinking. See, Mark got a
That's a plot point that got me jumping because even back when they in Legends did the Death Star book, you know, there was always that idea that maybe there was somebody on the design team that purposely planned a vulnerability built into the Death Star designs and went out of their way to keep that vulnerability hidden from everyone else all the way up to the end point of construction. And I'm hoping that they tie something like that in. I mean, when they went back with Tarkin, I was kind of hoping maybe there would be something along those lines with a side character or something like that where they tied something in of that regard. But that's always been one of those things that it just seems too convenient for the Rebellion that, oh, hey, there's this huge flaw. But if you had someone on the inside,
yeah,
someone that was smart enough to hide it.
It's almost an obvious story element for Rogue One, but they've got to do it, right? You can't tell a whole movie about the construction of the Death Star without at least referencing the exhaust port the size of a Womprat that Luke Skywalker used to bullseye in his T-16 back home, right?
Right, exactly. And what intrigues me also is that I'm assuming in this flashback that we've seen in the trailers when we see Jyn Young sounds like some name. But when you see Jyn when she's young, or like in the Catalyst book when she's a baby, I'm assuming some of these scenes are taking place during the prequel era because we've seen the Death Star plans in Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. So it should be interesting to go back to that era,
in
too.
Fact,
so we're hitting two eras in one movie.
Don't quote me. I don't remember where I read or heard this, which makes me feel bad because then I can't credit where it came from. But I have a distinct memory of reading or hearing, like at least just by the math, that like the shot of young Rey in the trailer, by her age in Rogue One, by definition, by the timeline, it has to be that flashback at least has to be back in the Clone Wars. So I think, yeah. I mean, the fact that they have Saw Gerrera in it, it gives them that window to reference, at least reference, maybe even, who knows, maybe a flashback.
Well, I mean, it makes sense too. I mean, the timeline technically, as of episode 4, that's the start of the original trilogy. So Rogue One, by definition, is a prequel trilogy film. It's just set between the two trilogies. But I'm interested in the aspect of Catalyst being this must-read story. I mean, they actually called it that. I was like, okay, I don't know what they could possibly tell us in this book that's going to make it must-read. But he does go on about, you know, Jin's a little girl throughout Catalyst. But once folks see her as a young woman in the movie, he says you start to see the puzzle pieces starting to connect. You'll understand things about Jin from reading this book that you might not have otherwise, which kind of reminds me of when you read like Before the Awakening, you know, and get that story and stuff. And then you rewatch The Force Awakens. You're like, OK, I get what they're saying. And I hope that this does it more so than when it came to The Force Awakens, the whole journey to The Force Awakens that didn't really take us anywhere near the movie.
And now that we have a video version, people can definitely see your air quotes there, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely. I think it's, I don't know. I'm so excited about Catalyst. In fact, I'm going to take just a brief moment to say I told in some detail a story I had of meeting James Luceno at New York Comic Con for the first time. And I did that nerd thing. And in fact, I admitted it when I walked up to him and got to tell him about my experience as a high schooler, young high schooler, reading Labyrinth of Evil and how that got me into Star Wars. So I tell the full story. You can catch it in detail on Star Wars Tonight, which has officially pre-launched. It's not launched, but we're doing it anyway. Right? That's basically no official fancy special promos or web press releases and making the announcement of the return. I just literally turned on, we built the new studio here and I started doing it. So very soon we'll be moving into the daily content that comes in next month. We'll tell you guys the specific day that we start going daily. And that's when the official launch happens and I'll send out press releases and get the word out and stuff like that. And we'll have the promo, but we're actually doing it right now, once or twice a week, new episodes coming into the Star Wars Tonight feed. And we're broadcasting live here in the studio, starwarsreport.com/live every night we can. So it can't be regular yet, but every night we can, 8 o'clock. We're broadcasting at starwarsreport.com/live via Twitch. And that's where you can catch the live streams and catch Star Wars Tonight. If you were part of it last year, we thank you for listening. It was a huge, fun experiment. Join us again. Go search out Star Wars Tonight in your podcatcher of choice and add that to your subscriptions, because it's a very fun kind of up-to-the-minute live. It's usually we record it live, and then I literally upload it right then and there that evening. So it's very kind of live, up-to-the-minute conversation, and we'll be taking calls and fun stuff like that. But yeah, make sure you check out Star Wars Tonight. But I do want to continue to highlight Rogue One. In fact, we've got a couple things here, Bruce. We have a new interview with Felicity Jones, as well as an EW exclusive where they've done kind of what they did with The Force Awakens. They've revealed some new characters for Rogue One. In fact, I want to take a look because we have them all the way down here at the bottom of the show notes.
Yes, the bottom of the show notes. Nothing major.
Yeah, nothing too major. I just want we're gonna play a little game here, gentlemen, because I know you love it when I do this, Bruce. I'm just off the top of my head. Here's what we're gonna do: we're gonna make up a brief autobiography. For your character of choice, and because I know he does improv, Bruce, you're going first. Pick a character and go.
Okay.
And I'm totally Moroff. Throwing this on the video too, so everyone can see it.
So I'm going with Moroff, the shaggy white, he's an albino Wookiee that had a bad hair day because he lives in an area of that the humidity is very low, so his fur lays very flat. And at the same time, he carries a backpack on him filled with cheese and crackers.
I have one last question for you, sir.
And by the way, there's string cheese comes out of his gun. Actually, yes.
You know what? No, that's all I needed to know. All right, I'm going to jump in next, and we're going to the Two Tubes twins, because, ladies and gentlemen, let me, as I'm again, for the folks listening, watching live, you have the advantage of seeing this on video, albeit not too big, but right here, as I'm pointing at it on the screen, are the two tubes twins. Now, here's what you need to know about the two tubes twins. They're freaking named the two tubes twins. That's all you got to know. Mark, you want to pick one out for us? Tell us a backstory of one of these guys. Which one?
Good old Cassian Andor, whose mom was infatuated with this little baby that she met named Lando Calrissian. And when he grew up, he fell in love with Biggs Darklighter so much that he modeled his whole look after him, ran across a droid that even reminded him of Biggs and converted him over to being his little sidekick because Biggs wouldn't actually give Andor the time of day. He was like, you know what? You don't know how to fly an X-Wing, you U-Wing pilot. Go over there and sit in the corner. I'm too good for you. So Andor, he went ahead and made himself a little K2SO droid version of Darklighter.
There's a card for that?
There's not. Well, the funny thing, guys, is that I feel like there's no card for Cassian Andor listed here, but it's okay because, Mark, I feel like you've been sitting on that character description that you made up in your own head for like weeks now.
He had to release. He had to get that out.
You know what, sir? I don't blame you at all. I don't. In fact, you know what? The fact that that Biggs Darklighter could figure into Rogue One some way, you know what? That's what I want. I want some just kind of moment in Rogue One that aligns Biggs Darklighter with the story somehow. He's somehow just make him related. Some distant relative, cousin, like, I don't know. It's the stash, guys. You can't argue.
We have General Merrick. He's one of the cards, and he's got a stash, but not a big stash.
And you know, he could be Merrick Steele, even for all we know. Like, that could be a character that they stole from Legends. Like,
the
Imperial pilot gone to the other side.
You know,
he looks like a veteran. He also kind of has a Breaking Bad look to him, though.
Oh my gosh, he does.
I was going to say, you know, that's who has the ladies and gentlemen
stuff here in the back.
That's,
you're like, oh no.
I'm going back to my Moroff character. He's got drugs in with the cheese and crackers in his backpack. General Moroff.
What you're saying is
Moroff. So they're like, it's an ointment powder. It's for my species. It keeps the fleet down.
You know who truly has the stash? That's Moroff.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. The circle is now complete.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Star Wars Report. Ba-da-ba. Let's talk some Jyn Erso. In fact, Felicity Jones is in the news. We have a brand new interview and some audio quotes we're actually going to feature. But right after I tell you guys about our second sponsor of the day. That's right. Not one, but two. That's to you, Omi Jr. That's the beat I should have played, folks. I want to tell you about Caseable. Caseable, in fact, I'm going to do it again. Hang on. Wait. Last week we featured the awesome Yoda folding case. This week we've got the Chewbacca bubblegum case that I'm, again, ladies and gentlemen, physically holding here. They are sponsoring us for the next couple weeks. So we do appreciate Caseable for doing it. If you're interested in Star Wars-themed, high-quality, handcrafted cases for all of your mobile devices, that's everything from tablets to phones to even laptops, you can check out Caseable. If you go to StarWarsReport.com/Caseable and use discount code SWR10, you get 10% off. And man, they have a fantastic wide range of designs that you can choose from. Of course, plenty of Star Wars ones that you can find on their website. And again, they're all handcrafted and put together, beautifully done in New York City, by the way. So check them out. It's StarWarsReport.com/Caseable. And make sure you go through to that link. It's Caseable, Caseable. It's that easy. StarWarsReport.com/Caseable. And we thank them for their support. All right, let's talk about Felicity Jones back in the news. Although, man, guys, as we get towards the press tour,
dude, like,
Felicity Jones has some work to do. I'm not going to lie, to live up to the Force Awakens press tour. That was one. Like, gentlemen, having covered it every day on Star Wars Tonight last year and that last month leading into the film, all the late night show appearances, all the new interviews, all the comedic bits that Jimmy Fallon did, or the funny thing that Jimmy Kimmel did, or, you know, that was a press tour to remember. So we're kind of getting to in that territory. And in that territory, we have some new interesting tidbits on Felicity Jones. In fact, she talks about how she likes to try on the shoes of her characters. And this is what she says about putting on the shoes of Jyn Erso. And again, Bruce, small technical thing. You said the audio is at starts right at the beginning, or do we need to run to...
Yes. No, just play the audio.
Here we go. Look at that.
Ooh. It's interesting. The shoes were adapted, actually, because you can't have laces in the galaxy. There are certain rules. It's fascinating, actually. You can't have zips, and you can't have laces in a galaxy far, far away. So you never see, in a Star Wars film, you'll never see any...
Okay.
And I'm sure someone is going to go through and find the moment where one of these things appears, but...
Yes, they will.
As far as I know, there are no zips or laces, so we had to... cover, there was a pair of brown boots and they're laced up, but we covered them with a Velcro.
Not a shoelace to be seen. Yes, and I'm sure people did actually go after that.
I never thought about that. You never see shoelaces in the Star Wars universe. I don't think there's been one shoe that
with
laces.
Bruce, I've thought a lot about different aspects of the Star Wars universe. I've thought about why did the stormtrooper bump his head. I've thought about why didn't Darth Vader just force hold the blast door and then kill Luke Skywalker instead of letting him get away on the Millennium Falcon at the end of A New Hope? Like, there's these things you think about as a Star Wars fan. Gotta say, never thought about the shoelaces. Never occurred to me. But
what
also,
kind of fan are you? Not thinking about shoelaces.
Like, if any place you're gonna have a need for a tie versus Velcro or stuff like that, it would be the sand planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And Bobby Roberts in the chat has an excellent point. You can't have zips.
Yeah, but there is bubble wrap, as The Last Disciple says.
Yeah, well, and there's like a giant Earth micro... What, I forget the model, but like the old school crooner 1940s, 50s microphone that's the design on the spy droid in The Force Awakens at Maz Kanata's castle. Remember that? I'll have to find the picture of it. So it's funny. Or the
droids too also have that.
Yeah. Or the communicator. I say using a Star Trek term here. The communicator that Qui-Gon uses. The comlink. That's the word. I can't believe that just happened. The communicator.
That was a shaver.
A lady's razor. So, like, there you go. When asked about her impression on the Lego Jyn Erso figure, Felicity had this to say.
This is terrible radio, but I have to ask you about this. I'm showing you Jyn Erso in Lego form.
Oh.
Have you seen this, and how do you feel about being a Lego person?
I haven't seen it. What is she holding? That's enormous. She has her little mini blaster, and then...
Do you not have that in the movie?
I don't know, but it looks pretty cool. Oh, it looks like a huge baton. I do have a baton, but I don't remember the proportion being quite quite the same as that. She has a great baton that she has in her on her gun belt.
It looks like an iPad holder that's strapped to her
side. That she whips out,
yeah.
Oh, that's so... Oh, goodness. Look at her expression. She looks very determined.
She does look very determined. You know what? Kudos, just shout out to the audio engineers at the Empire podcast. I forgot to credit where credit is due. The full interview that you're listening to, that we've clipped out some, is the Empire podcast. I assume Empire magazine?
Yeah, it's related to Empire magazine. She was actually there for an interview about her new movie Inferno with Tom Hanks.
But nobody cared. Let's be honest.
They snuck in Rogue One.
No, they didn't, Bruce. They snuck in a little bit about Inferno, and then... and then they did that. All right, and then
I have no idea how adorable she sounds in real life. Like, just the way she says baton, I was like,
baton.
Oh my god, I think I'm following
baton.
Baton. Wait, you guys.
Baton.
Wait. I'm gonna hit you with it.
Wait. Pulling back the curtain. You guys can hear that.
No, we're
playing it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
30
like,
seconds late.
I thought like magically. All right, sorry. Aside, that was a brief text aside, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, we have her first and early exposure to Star Wars and her favorite Star Wars film. Here we go. Yeah, let's be honest. All they did was ask her about Star Wars.
early on, my cousins would show my brother and I would go around to their house and we'd go and, you know, have family afternoons together. And quickly after lunch, we'd scurry away from the parents and we'd be watching the latest blockbuster something on VHS. And one of the first films was, do you remember Tremors?
Yes.
That was the first film I ever saw.
Are you serious? That's a great place to start.
And it's kind of iconic, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a cult classic.
It's a cult classic. And then as part of our training, it was Star Wars was a fundamental...
Yes.
...was a fundamental film in the programme. And I do, I clearly remember sitting cross-legged, watching, when the titles go up at the beginning and being completely enthralled.
Do you have a favourite of the... seven so far. Having said that out loud, that seems like an unfair question because obviously we're now into your own part of the franchise.
Rogue One is my favorite.
Forgetting Rogue One and forgetting The Force Awakens, do you have a favorite of the previous six?
A New Hope.
Okay. So you're not an Empire Strikes.
Oh, actually, Empire Strikes Back was a huge influence for us, actually. We'd watch clips of it, Gareth and I, before we'd do certain scenes. It's a real real inspiration for Rogue One, particularly that film. And we'd get far too involved in watching it. And then our wonderful Toby would say, guys, come on, you got to actually make Star Wars. You can't just watch it.
Oh, you'd watch it when you were on set?
For inspiration.
Wait a darn second. That's the takeaway. Who cares about her favorite film?
Why it's safe for last.
Sitting around. They're not watching A New Hope, the film this actually leads into. The inspiration's Empire Strikes Back. You know, this takes me back to a very nosebleed seat at Celebration Europe, sitting along in the back row as giant spoilers were dropped from the stage. This is Empire Strikes Back.
This is huge. It's huge. They're looking at The Empire Strikes Back for inspiration for Rogue One, which takes place right before New Hope. They're not looking at New Hope.
And then you know what I thought it was at first, Bruce? Was that like, it's my favorite. You know, I like A New Hope. It's my favorite film. It's great. I'm working on it, guys. But that's not it. That's not the important key. The point is not that she changed her mind. It's like, oh, wait, Empire's the more popular, so I'm going to pick that. That's kind of what I was thinking was going on there. No, she suddenly was like, oh, yeah, we sat down and studied that. Why, you don't casually just throw up a film on a film set while you're shooting, right? That's just like, you know what, guys, let's just take five. Let's just watch a couple. Let's watch the Cloud City sequence, right? We'll just and a long lunch. Everybody, we'll watch the Cloud City sequence, and then we'll get back to it. No, that's not.
Well,
how
I think
it works.
What they're doing, they're watching probably Hoth. They're watching the AT-ATs probably when they're doing those scenes. Is what I'm thinking. That probably what was going on because you know you don't have those things in real life on set.
Empire Strikes Back was the Empire's hammer is coming down, you know, and right before A New Hope, that should be the status quo. The Empire is hardcore. They're all over the place. We're supposed to be seeing a major victory here per the credits. And yet I keep coming away with the feeling that this major victory is only going to be in the aspect that they got the plans into Leia's hand. I don't think it's going to turn out well for everybody.
No, I think this is going to be a dark film. And I was already thinking that just based on the premise this is going to happen a lot. Kind of referencing what we were talking about on Star Wars Tonight, Bruce and I, when we were recording the last episode, which is, by the way, episode 25, if you want to check it out. There's no way this movie ends happy, right? There can't be the traditional Star Wars. Like, there is one film in Star Wars that truly has a sort of pseudo cliffhanger. Not even pseudo, like a traditional by Hollywood measure cliffhanger ending. And that's Empire Strikes Back. You don't know if he's going to die or survive or if they're going, you know, or what's going to happen next. Even in Attack of the Clones, there's sort of a sense of foreboding, but that's not, it's not a cliffhanger. You're not waiting to see if Padme Amidala is going to be unfrozen from carbonite, right? You're not, like, there's no like... what I'm saying is that Revenge of the Sith doesn't open up trying to resolve the cliffhanger of the last episode. Otherwise, we'd see the Chancellor get kidnapped at the end of Attack of the Clones, and then suddenly it cuts off, which is not how it works. So we have one true cliffhanger movie, and in this case, I mean, there's no way this can't And in my opinion, there's no way Rogue One can be as effective or as good a movie as is a possibility if there isn't a tragedy. If it isn't a tragedy, if a lot of these characters don't sacrifice themselves at the end. Here I am rooting for the death of characters I've hardly gotten to know at all. I'm a terrible human being.
You sadist.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I can't help it. I can't help it.
I almost think the Darth Maul books, you know, like Jax Pavon's dad, I think his name was like Roan Pavon or something like that, or Lauren Pavon. And he had come across everything that was going on with Sidious and Darth Maul, and Maul was tasked with hunting him down and killing him. And he had to get this Jedi holocron back to the temple, and he ends up fulfilling his duty, or so he thinks. He just doesn't realize that he delivers it to Sidious himself. And then in the end ends up getting taken out by Maul. And there was one character, and that was the droid, the I-5 droid that was with him that ended up living. And that was like, you're out. Like, it was like such a sad story when it was over. Oh, spoiler warning, by the way. Oops.
Hang on. I don't have the Rogue One sounder handy, or I would be doing the bleep, bleep. That's... I'm not trying to be a sadist, but like, I do like a good tragedy. Like, I love Game of Thrones, man. It's a problem. I'm going to blame Game of Thrones. It's corrupting my very soul. But
not The Walking Dead?
No, The Walking Dead's like a pop art. Like, it's fun, but it's not like malicious tragedy that just sucks you in because the characters and the writing and the world is so beautiful and the music gets you emotional and then suddenly they just kill everybody.
Yeah.
Is George R.R. Martin? Can you imagine?
For the same reason. That was how I used to write all my high school
And then you
stories.
Discover you like the pain. That's the problem with Game of Thrones. You know what? I need to stop. we're getting kind of sidetracked here. All right. Let's get on track here. We do have a new release of The Force Awakens coming to 3D. Blu-ray. Nice. It's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, actually, it's an incentive for me to go out and get a 3D TV because I do have a 3D Blu-ray player. I was like,
Like 3D. Everybody likes 3D, right?
If you have a 3D TV, maybe. I'm the same boat as Mark. Blu-ray player on TV.
But Bruce.
What?
Like, you know, if you don't have a 3D, you already have it on Blu-ray. It's not like they would put, I don't know, like, you know, exclusive content that you'd like have to buy the new thing if you don't want the 3D, right? Like, Right.
I mean, why not, you know, suck more money out of me for something I really don't want?
See, that would be weird.
I want the extras on there, mm-hmm. but, you know, that's what it kind of ticks me off because it's like I already have the movie and everything. Now I got to rebuy the movie again just to hear commentaries of J.J. Abrams and the other deleted scenes, which I really want to see. So is it worth it or not?
They have new deleted scenes and a commentary with J.J. Abrams?
Yes, they do. And those aren't even in 3D.
Yeah.
What?
Wish is that there was a way that your Blu-ray disc that you have right now, right? Not the DVD, but the Blu-ray, because it's a more advanced technology. But you put yours in and it goes online and it says, oh, hey, there's these new codes that will download onto your disc and give you new content or whatever. And you have access to it through your Blu-ray and they could add content later. Like, because I'm in the same boat. Like, I want to know more about why Ben Solo killed his father and if he was or wasn't going to lean towards the light or the dark.
Well, if only there were an audio clip of that Blu-ray commentary that we could just get a taste of how amazing this is going to be starting right now.
I also showed this film, an early cut, to my friend Ava DuVernay, and she had a bunch of great suggestions. One of them was... that she really wanted to see Daisy in her attack on Ren coming up to have one really cool moment. I'll show you the shot that we ended up getting per her suggestion. But we always had this moment from when we shot it originally. And this used to be where she called him a monster and then pushed back. But instead, we reshot this. and had her take this moment of hearing the Force and thinking about what Maz had told her about closing her eyes and letting it in. And so she has this incredibly internal moment that is sort of extended in kind of movie time, where she basically feels it, accepts it, and is now ready to kick his ass.
I love the ending right there. And is ready to kick his ass. Like, thank you, J.J. Abrams. All right. Bruce, you're amazing. I didn't even know that audio clip existed. I thought that was going to be the one about the other clip that was released, when Rey touches Luke Skywalker. But
oh,
that
we
is
have that one too.
Which we do as well, but I don't want to gloss over the fact that that moment almost wasn't there. Like, that's one, for me, one of the defining, best, satisfying moments of the whole movie, especially like in the wake of the tragedy of Han's death, to have her own sort of use the Force, Luke moment, was so cathartic, and it needed to be there. And it's fascinating to me that they reshot that shot, is what basically what it sounds like he was saying.
Well, they didn't reshoot that. The shot where, you know, Kylo is starting to fall and she's about to win, and they do a close up of her bringing down her lightsaber onto him. That was reshot. But it was while they were doing this that the battle scene of the lightsabers in the forest, when they're the two of them have their, you know, lightsabers against each other and he's pushing against her, you need a teacher. That's where they gave her the moment of, instead of just saying, you monster, it's, she just closes her eyes and feels the Force. And that's a huge
moment. Who does that remind you of? I'm curious if you think of the same moment I do, because it's not from the original trilogy. That's my hint.
I see. My first instinct was Han Solo, but that's not at all accurate. I mean, that don't work. I would have to say Obi-Wan Kenobi right before he goes up against Maul after Qui-Gon gets down. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking of that moment from Qui-Gon's perspective because of that moment that he sits down and meditates before launching his attack against Darth Maul. And I'd never thought about it that way, but that moment is an echo of A New Hope. As is this moment. I'd never really thought about Qui-Gon in the context moment right before, you know, he goes on the attack from Darth Maul when they get separated by that beam at the end of The Phantom Menace. I never thought about that. I feel like that. I'm sure that fits into Ring Theory somewhere. but yes, I alluded to it. We do also have an amazing clip of what JJ actually explicitly calls, well, a lot of fans have been calling it, the Force back sequence. Let's take a listen right here.
In this scene, she is drawn to this place, almost like Cinderella. And she goes to this box, which when she opens, she discovers something that, of course, has no meaning to her. She's never seen this before, doesn't know what it is. But has meaning to the audience. Touching the lightsaber triggers what we called the Force back. There were many iterations of this. In one, from this Cloud City corridor, she looked down and saw Vader fighting Luke, which we ended up cutting. We wanted it to be a more personal story, something that she couldn't comprehend, that was overwhelming to her, frightening to her, that was taking her through all these elemental experiences of fire, of rain, snow, wind, but also that she was being confronted with truths about the Force, about the past, the Knights of Ren here, the past for herself. She realizes the cries she heard were actually her own cries as a young girl being taken away from her family. And then she hears a voice, Rey, and that's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You can tell how well he knows that scene by heart, by how he narrates it beat by beat, and even introduces the word Rey at the same time that you hear the Alec Guinness excerpt, Rey, man, dude.
I like
so we're all buying the
wind and fire.
So who's ready to get that 3D Blu-ray?
I am so ready to come to your house and watch it.
Cause I am raising my hands, ladies and gentlemen. And again, Bobby in the chat has a good point that maybe a lot of these extras weren't even ready to go on the first disc, which to be fair is probably true. they were busy with the press tour. They didn't have time to sit down and do commentaries. And the last disciple in the chat also says it was more like a force back and forth, which is an excellent point. An excellent, excellent point. You know what, guys? Let's do it.
It was a lot to me.
It's time for...
As you wish.
Boba's Bounty. Each week we like to talk about and inform and educate, if not entertain, perhaps. And sometimes in the case of Bruce Gibson, just inspire everyone with the moment that we have experienced, watched, heard, read, or otherwise smelled in the universe of Star Wars in the past week. Bruce, you want to kick off?
Well, can I stay in? I got to head out.
Oh, that's so, right. Yeah. Mark, I forgot. You got to get out of here, man. Dude. Dude, I've got you way too late. Way too late. You got to go scare people. Get out of here. Get out of here.
For me, I just finished E.K. Johnston's Ahsoka.
Nice.
Really fun read. I won't say it's an essential read, but I do think it is a very good read. I feel it's a fulfilling read, and I very much enjoyed the book. And I did actually get the audiobook that is narrated by Ashley Eckstein. And I tweeted about it, and I'm not joking. It very much brought me back to being 6 years old and having my mom read to me again. Like, just the way she reads just totally is that mom to her kid kind of reading. And I just became so entranced and enthralled by Ashley narrating that book. It's just awesome.
Oh yeah, no, I'm right now in the middle of it. I'm only into the first chapter, but yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. Mark, get out of here. Sorry, I just realized we delayed you way too much. But we'll see you, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mark Herleman at Illogical Rogue 2. Actually, I'm pointing up at Illogical Rogue 2 on Twitter and of course Instagram. You know, he's just leave his Skype up and just have the live shot of his studio. But no, Mark's out of here, and now it's you and me. It's you and me and Bruce and I and you. All right, just to make up songs. Bruce, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I'm going to mention two things. One, well, by the way, I did read Ahsoka too. I liked it. But I also got the Ahsoka pop figure from our good buddy, Matthew Rushing. It was a belated birthday gift, so I want to thank him for that. I think I'm going to display her in my office at work, because I think people would really appreciate seeing Ahsoka when they walk in and see her little bobbing head there. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that one of the highlights of my week was being on Star Wars Tonight the other night. And this isn't a plug for the show. It's just the fact that I had no idea I was going to be on, and I'm sitting at a bar at the Ritz-Carlton. I had probably about five or six drinks in me, and next thing
I
know,
that's why it was so good.
My phone rings and the music playing, and I'm like, what is going on?
That's exactly what happened too. Yeah, that was a fun time. No, I definitely wanted to get that plug in. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? For this week, you know, it's been actually, I've been buried this week, dude. I haven't had that much Star Warsy type stuff to do. So I would be remiss if I didn't have something for Boba's Bounty. So I'm going to do that thing. I'm actually going to turn around for the folks watching live, and I'm going to
show your tattoo.
No, that's not going to happen at all.
That's not behind you? Okay.
No, I'm actually going to show off my one token item from... Where is it? My one token item that I got from Celebration Europe. You know the tradition, right? Like, I've said it too many times. We like to get one item from each convention, and so for Celebration Europe... I miss New York, though. I didn't get anything for New York. But then again, I'm poor, and I think I literally had no money. So by the end of that trip. But here it is for the folks watching live. We're going to get a nice zoomed-in shot. There we go. Of the Lothcat. Hey, everybody. In fact, I'm just going to put the Lothcat in place of my face and just talk. And he's like, hey, everybody. Yeah, it's the Star Wars stuffed Lothcat toy. I believe it was a Celebration Europe exclusive, but I wanted to highlight that this week. It's not something I did this week, but something certainly that's been staring at me as I've been working. In this studio, and I'm also going to just kind of double up on Mark's recommendation and say, dude, the Ahsoka book, it's the best thing ever. In fact, like I don't know if it's going to get me in trouble, but I'm just going to like here. This is Ashley Eckstein. For you guys who haven't actually heard the excerpts, this is Ashley Eckstein reading Ahsoka. Here we go.
Favoring her left leg as she went. The limp was not pronounced, but Ahsoka could tell that the injury was painful. That meant medical treatment on Raeta was either expensive or unavailable.
So it's Ahsoka reading Ahsoka. Like, how cool is that? And you know what? The other shout out I have to give is Ashley Eckstein, because I'm still sitting on the interview that we did at New York Comic Con. In fact, you know what? I feel like we got to do it, man. I didn't put it in the notes this week. That's because we didn't make it in last week, and we don't want to. It's timely because Ahsoka's released, and she talks all about her character and the future of her character. Should we cap off the show with our interview with Ashley Eckstein? I feel like if this with a live audience. Now that granted, there's like a 30-second delay, but I need like a chat version of like, do y'all want to hear the interview with Ashley Eckstein?
And if you want to hear the interview, type yes. If not, type no. I guess that's self-explanatory, isn't it?
let's
I'm just buying that time for the delay to kick in.
Yeah, the thing is I've got to unfortunately you won't, sir, but you've heard it, I imagine. If not, I'm going to personally like screen the interview for Mr. Bruce Gibson. Now here's the funny thing is that now this interview this interview, and I'm talking over it right now a little bit because this is literally the raw audio. So this is, Riley always starts the recording like 30 seconds before the interview starts. It's what I call pulling a Hardwick, because you don't want that awkward moment of looking. It's awkward and impersonal to look at the person you're about to interview and say, all right, we ready to go? Shall I turn on the recorder so we can start talking? Don't do that. It's a bad idea to say, all right, we're ready to go. Well, let's talk about da da da. So this is what's happening right now.
He's also with us on the show today.
Oh, wait, I actually talked over myself too much. I was trying to stall for the bad audio. Here we go. There we are. So you're going to hear us talking to Ashley Eckstein. So
we'll start straight into it. I'm just super conversational about it. We're here.
I'm terrible.
At the Topps booth.
Let's hang on.
They've been super nice.
Bruce, you didn't hear what I just said, but what I intended to cut out, and then what I was going to cut in is like, and we're here with Ashley Eckstein at New York Comic Con. But since I have the raw audio here, it's like, yeah. So I think we're just going to start with it. I'm just super conversational about it, which is what came out of my mouth. Which is the dumbest thing ever. Dude, I'm an idiot. This is what happened to me. I thought I knew how to interview people without saying things like, I'm just going to be super conversational about it, as if that needs to be stated. That was literally self-talk that I was saying out loud to Ashley Eckstein. And it was
Why would you say that? Were you nervous?
I mean, yes, of course I'm nervous. It's Ashley Eckstein. She's great. She's the best. She's a way better human being than I am. And the voice of Ahsoka Tano, and like the queen of her universe, and like this super successful businesswoman. Like, I have no business talking to her, right? Like, what?
Yeah, but she took the time to talk to you, so you must be important to her.
At least, it's because Bethany was there.
That's true. Bethany makes things happen for you,
dude. You have no idea. All right, here we go. Ashley Eckstein.
The guests of Topps this entire weekend. We've got the live show tomorrow. Hey, it's Riley. Bethany's also with us on the show today. Welcome back. Back to our New York Comic Con coverage. But most importantly, sitting right next to us, in fact, center stage between us here at the Topps booth, it is Ashley Eckstein, founder of Her Universe, businesswoman extraordinaire, and of course the voice of the will never die, both in fandom and in the canon, Ahsoka Tano. At least that's what we say here at the Stars Report. Welcome back to the program, Ashley. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for such an amazing introduction. Oh. I'm honored.
It's so, and I started to say this, and then I realized, oh, I need to say this on the podcast. So I was walking with Bethany downstairs, past the Marvel area and the Reed Pop t-shirts and stuff, and I see the incredible display of the Marvel Her Universe dresses. And I just thought to myself, I leaned over to Bethany, and I was like, I remember when Her Universe was founding and just starting with the Star Wars license, and we're walking by at New York Comic Con with the Marvel license, this incredible line of clothing, and like I see the big Hot Topic sign. Like, Her Universe has become such a phenomenon. I just want to talk us through your journey these last few years with Her Universe.
Oh my goodness, it's been a ride. It's been so much fun. Her universe is 6 years old. Can you believe it?
Wow.
We launched in June of 2010, and you know, we started with just T-shirts because back in the day, you know, in June of 2010, as fangirls, we couldn't buy T-shirts. There were no T-shirts made for us, and you know, we started with T-shirts. But then, of course, as girls, we want more. We don't just want to stop there. We want dresses. We want jackets. We want skirts. We want, you know, we want to be a geek chic from head to toe. So I feel very fortunate to have partnered with Hot Topic and Disney Parks and Kohl's to be able to grow and offer so much more for fangirls.
That is amazing. And what's that process been like? And because we talk so often about fandom and what some of these characters mean to us. But actually, if you'll pardon my curiosity, just as a business, how has this changed you as part of the fan community? Because I'm sure it's one thing to be part of the fan community as talent, but now you've sort of become, not just you, your company that you've built has become such an integral part of the Geek Girl community.
Oh, goodness. You know, I've learned so much in the world of business. I went to school for acting. I didn't go to school for business, so I've been learning on the job. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I mean, honestly, being the voice of Ahsoka allowed all of this. And Star Wars truly changed my life. And it gave me a platform to use the Force to do good with it. And I felt like to be associated with such an iconic franchise, I wanted to use it for good. And and this wasn't just me. This was a group effort by all of us. I mean, from day one, I said, united we stand, divided we fall. And I feel like all the fans, like the reason we've been able to grow is because the fans have asked for growth and have asked for change. So I'm so thankful for everyone's support.
Oh, absolutely.
I was speaking with Ashley before.
Yeah, this is where we have a few audio issues with Bethany's mic.
Oh, yes.
But she wanted to tell... Bethany tells the story of how she actually first bought her Universe shirt as her first Star Wars shirt.
Which you're wearing right now. Super cute.
And it was my very first Star Wars shirt. And like you said, back in the
day... And this was a big moment for Bethany. I wish the mic had caught it, but she does explain how it was significant for her to get that as her first Star Wars shirt. And she asked about future products.
You know, I definitely see her universe branching out more. I would love her universe to be, you know, a lifestyle brand, which encompasses everything. I mean, we have started to do other products, for like the Studio Ghibli brand, for example. We've done some more accessories and, mugs and glasses and you know, different types of things. So I think being a fangirl is a lifestyle. It's part of you. It's a way of life. It's not a trend. And so I'd love to expand to other things beyond just apparel. I mean, you know, we really broadened our apparel category this year with activewear. I was super excited to launch into activewear this year. So hopefully we'll continue to expand to other sorts of apparel. And then also maybe, you know, some more home goods and accessories as well.
That's amazing. And I love that, because I think that's one thing that her universe unlocked. It wasn't just the fact of, oh, girls need t-shirts too, especially you use the example, the activewear, where it is that sort of lifestyle brand at this point, which I can't wait to see the future of. I'm sure there's some amazing things. I've heard many guys say this at this point. Man, I wish her universe made guy shirts, which I think is the ultimate compliment, because at this point it shows that you are serving a community that wasn't served for decades, to be honest. And it was waiting for the right moment, and you came at that time. That's been so amazing to see her universe grow so much. But I can't. I am guilty. I know.
Well, one day, I actually would love to start doing fashion for fanboys.
Yes.
So,
and you have done some couple shirts that were pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. So I might be working on it.
Oh, okay. Now I'm really excited. Now I'm going to just stop the recording right now and say, I'm just going to put in my suggestion box. No.
Yes,
oh,
please.
You know what there's far too little of? See, now this turns into Riley thinks.
Bethany asks, what shirt do you want? At which point my eyes just open enormously wide. And I'm like, the next words out of my mouth need to be really well thought through, and I have zero time to think through what I'm supposed to say. So, ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing right after this is called Riley Stalling.
Now you're turning this into Riley asks for his own personal apparel. Actually, honestly, my dream is...
At which point then I was like, and then I looked over to the side at Bethany, and then I was like, actually, you know, I have thought about this, and I do have ideas, and I'm definitely going to take advantage of this opportunity.
I can't believe I get to say this. My dream is being able to have, like, semi-formal wear that's kind of subtle. I like the sort of chic look. Like, in fact, right now I've got the jacket on, but I kind of like the whole Her Universe, the Ahsoka Tano defense team lapel. But I love that sort of, like, muted, because if you know it, you'll get it. But it doesn't have to be, like, super, super out there. That's my favorite kind of clothing. I'm not even going to lie. But enough of me indulging myself. I have to ask you something about Ahsoka, because here's the thing. Rewind to 2008, and I remember convincing myself, and then after watching it, convincing my sister, "Hey, we should check out this Clone Wars thing. I bet it's all right. I bet it's interesting." And it turns out, Ahsoka went from this character that was so controversial in those first few months to fast forward all the way to today, where literally the entire Star Wars fandom is just like on the edge of their seat wondering what the future is of the character. Just talk us through your process a little bit, because Ahsoka's changed a lot over the years.
Ahsoka has been on quite the journey over the past several years. You know, I feel so grateful to have, you know, voiced Ahsoka from the beginning and to be associated with this character. If you think about it, how many characters get the chance to have their storyline explored for so long? I mean, she's had 6 seasons on Clone Wars,
yes,
2 seasons on Rebels, video games, comic books. I mean, not very many characters get that much exposure and that much backstory. Now she's getting a book. And
I was going to say, now she's getting her own book.
Yes.
Which I understand, like, you're doing an author signing at the end of the weekend, correct, as I understand?
I am. So I did not write it. I cannot take credit for that at all. But I narrated the audiobook.
Which I cannot wait for, by the way. I'm a big audiobook guy, so I cannot wait.
Oh, goodness. Well, this is my first audiobook, so be easy on me.
You have the advantage of playing the title character, so I'm sure that would come naturally, but audiobooks has to be like a whole different game.
I have to tell you, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done, honestly, because you do all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I joke about this on the Star Wars show, because I did an interview with them, and it's the first and last time I'll ever be asked to voice Bail Organa. Seriously. You know, that was interesting. I would say about 60% of the book is Ahsoka's lines, or kind of narration that, like, you could imagine would be from Ahsoka's voice.
Yeah.
And the other part of the book is other characters. So I just changed my tone. So hopefully it's not too distracting.
No, I can't wait. And what's funny is we were actually watching that last night, that episode. I'm like, you're not allowed. And I have full confidence that Jimmy Smits will be enormously jealous upon hearing the book. That's so true. That's so true. And I think what I'm so glad about, I had the opportunity to be at Celebration Europe, and Dave Filoni was so kind to the fans that, I know you can't talk specifics, but we know at least there's some kind of future for the character, and that speaks so much to her legacy.
Yes, you know, so, in full disclosure, Dave, you know, said that she would come back in Rebels in some way. I haven't recorded it yet, so I can tell you, I don't know what happens. We don't know what happens until we go into the studio, so I haven't been into the studio yet. But in my opinion, I think Ahsoka lives, but that's just my opinion. I really don't know yet.
Well, we agree.
And this is where Bethany's asking her about speculating along with fans.
There is an industry behind this at this point now of, like, what happened, and, like, the freeze frames of, like, is she a ghost? Is she not a ghost? Like, is that...
Oh, the owl.
Exactly.
Oh, the owl. yeah, the convery bird or owl has something to do with it. If you notice, the colors of the convery...
This is where it gets good.
The same colors as the daughter from Mortis.
Yes.
There's something there. I don't know what it is yet, but there's something there, in my opinion.
Bethany does point out that Ahsoka does have a big connection with the Force. And man, that color scheme is awfully suspicious.
Yeah. Well, the daughter gave up her life for Ahsoka. Ahsoka died in the Mortis arc, and the daughter gave up her life for Ahsoka, so there's something there. I just don't know what it is.
Well, and that's what I love about Rebels so much at this point, because it's tying into the Clone Wars so much. And also, and I know Dave's a fan, but it has, there's so many, like, mythological, almost like Lord of the Rings-esque elements to it. And I love the idea of an Ahsoka reborn. Ahsoka the White, if we to use a Gandalf reference. That would be so amazing. But the time will tell. Time will tell.
Yeah.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for giving us some time here at New York Comic Con. I know you're super busy, but... And seriously, congratulations with all the success with her universe. It's just...
Thank you. It's been absolutely amazing to watch it grow. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Is there anything specifically that you'd like Star Wars Report fans to check out, specifically like with her universe? Anything you'd like to promote?
Well, you know, I would love if you're in one of the cities where we're going on a book tour for the Ahsoka book to come meet us. We're starting actually here in New York, but then we go to Orlando, Florida on October 11th, and we're going to all Barnes & Noble stores. So
awesome.
October 11th in Orlando. Then actually we are going to Disney World
on
October 14th.
Nice.
Then we're going to the Barnes & Noble in Tampa on the 15th. And let's see.
I think I remember there's a couple dates. And I'll tell you what, we'll get all those dates in the post for this.
We're going to San Diego, San Francisco, and L.A.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, come and check out the book tour if you're close to one of those cities.
Awesome. And in fact, as you're hearing this, Ahsoka was released this week, so you can actually go purchase the book by E.K. Johnson herself and read it for yourself. Ashley, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ashley, that was amazing.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, seriously, Ashley, thanks so much.
She was, dude, she was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Eckstein here, voice of Ahsoka Tano, here at Star Wars Reads Day, the Little Shop of Stories, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Sorry, Ashley Eckstein was talking over you there, virtually via our bumper. Sorry, were you saying, Bruce?
I'm sorry, because I can't hear that, so I didn't know the bumper was gone. I was just saying I'm hoping she comes to Atlanta, or maybe she was already here, because I want to get a book signed.
Yes. She's not going to be in Atlanta, sadly. But the nearest ones were Florida. But next time.
Called Celebration.
Dude, like she knows stuff, right? Does she know stuff? Does she not know? You know what? I won't be rude and speculate. I won't even speculate.
I don't think she does.
Yeah, but she's got some
if
great
she knows
theories.
Anything, she knows a little tiny bit, but not much of anything.
But the fact that maybe I know she's speculating along with us because she hasn't done the lines yet. But I'm telling you, man, that bird, that freaking bird.
The bird, the colors, Mortis.
I know.
She died.
I know.
This is the Star Wars Report podcast. That's two UOME, Junior.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Star Wars Report. I want to take just a brief moment and thank the fine folks supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That is the best way to directly support this very programming. I want to give a shout-out this week to our featured supporter. It's Karen Schultz. Welcome to the patron fold, Karen. Thank you so much for supporting us. If you want to be like Karen and directly support our programming in ways that we are able to do things like, I don't know, get a dedicated high-speed internet line so that we can do live streaming like we're doing right now. That's thanks to people over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Head over there and get some great bonus content like, I don't know, maybe a Star Wars Report t-shirt. Perhaps you would like a monthly Google Hangout to chat with us and just have a great time.
Which looks like our next one's on the 30th.
Oh, wait. Thank you for the update. Yeah, I was going to say, Bruce, what's the update on that? Because Bruce is awesome and organizes those. So, yeah, that's actually a good point because we'll just plug it right now. Well, if you want to join us and hang out on do the Google Hangout with the Star Wars Report fellow patrons, just go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport, sign up, and join us. You can see all of the different bonuses we offer there and the different tiers. And, of course, probably the most fun is our exclusive podcast RSS feed, where we turn out bonus podcast segments and publish them directly to the people who support us. So thank you so much to everyone who does it. Thanks, Karen, for being on the patron team. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to bring this podcast to a close. Now everybody can see my tradition because I'm on video, and I can do the Riley podcast jig. Turn up, everybody. That's right. Episode 245 of the Star Wars Report podcast is in the can. Thank you to Mr. Mark Herleman for joining us. It's at Illogical Rogue 2. Follow him on Twitter. Thank you to Mr. Bruce Gibson, our fine producer and co-host for this episode, and for prepping that amazing audio from Jyn Erso and prepping all of these great stories that we've been talking about. It's a big Star Wars week, man.
It's huge. There's even more. We just can't get to it all.
It's huge. It's just we're going to have so many Star Wars movies. We'll be sick of Star Wars movies. I can't help myself, guys. We're so close to the election. I can't help myself. I'm sorry. We're gonna get some impressions in. All right. I just feel like I need to do the rest. I need to change the political references to something that's at least 10 years old, though. It's way too charged. Although all politics is charged. I just need to do the whole rest of the plugs as Bill Clinton. You can follow us. It's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. We are not on Facebook.com/StarWars. All right. I'll stop.
Al Gore wants a recount. The election is rigged.
Yeah. All right. We're stopping. There's so many jokes that are coming to mind, and I'm going to stop it. I'm stopping it. Stop. That's the cutoff sign. All right. Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport, and, of course, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Huge thank you. We've had a couple of new people jumping on with brand new iTunes reviews. If you're one of the most recent three, you know who you are, folks who've left us an iTunes review, or if you want to update yours, if you've already sent one, or if you haven't sent one yet, go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes right now. Right now. Pull it up on your iPhone. You know it. Leave us a review. We always do appreciate those. But then here's the deal. It's that time of year, folks. As we get towards November, it's getting towards the festive season. And the festive season means giveaways. And I'm literally looking right now over to my right. It's not on camera. Actually, yeah, but I have enough thing. I'm going to get one. Hang on. We have some amazing giveaways we're going to be doing on the podcast here and Star Wars Tonight. And thanks to a patron, not just like a Patreon patron, but now like a toy patron, giveaway patron, Jeremy Burtz, sent me this big box of awesome Star Wars collectibles and toys and all kinds of great stuff that we're giving away. So let's just start it now. Next three, if you leave us an iTunes review this week, shoot us an email. And until I run out of awesome prizes, you're getting a prize, right? You get a prize. So here's what we're going to do. If you want it, and the most recent three, we got some nice iTunes reviews. So we're kicking it up. It spreads the word, and it's a way to get some free Star Wars swag. So again, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Leave a review this week. And we've got a good handful. So you've got a great chance of getting a sweet Star Wars prize. Leave us a review, and then you'll email us your name and shipping information. But that's it. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Riley Guy. And follow Bruce. He's at Admiral_Rex. Talk to us between shows. And, of course, tune in live next week, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at StarWarsReport.com/live. That puts the wraps. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Ow!
You got to do that, man.
Oh, sweating from that one. Whew.
You're sweating?
What's going on?
Dude, like, that was so amazing. All right, let me stop the recorder here. Great. Good show.